You know, it's always amazing how the Lord works, because tonight, just the music, everything about our worship tonight was really about what we're going to talk about. And yet, Jeremy and I, even though he's my son, we don't talk about this stuff. You know, it's just really neat to see how the Lord, what the Lord had on his heart tonight. So let's bow our heads for a word of prayer, and then we'll finish our last installment tonight on this series. Father, we just thank you, Lord, so much for the joy you give us in Jesus Christ. You have given us the best possible life. And we praise you tonight for it, Lord. When I say that, Lord, I do not mean that all of our circumstances are perfect, that all of our health is perfect, that we have all the money we could ever want, that we don't have any trials or difficulties. But I'm saying, Lord, that you have given us in Jesus Christ the best possible life we could imagine, and a future that will blow our minds, that will leave us with no regrets. Father, we ask you tonight that you'd speak to our hearts through the Word of God. In Jesus' name, amen. So tonight is part three, The Will of God as a Way of Life, and it is entitled, The Very Best Life for You. The will of God, living the will of God, is the very best possible life that you and I could ever experience. But you might ask the question, how do I know this? Mark, how can you be so confident it's so good? Two words, the gospel. How could I be so confident that the will of God is so good? Because the gospel is the will of God. The gospel was God's will for you and I through Jesus Christ. And I'll get into that a little bit tonight, what the gospel is. I'd like to read to you from the book of Ephesians, and I'd like you to think about this for just a moment, and we're going to do some reflecting tonight. As for you, you were once dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live, when you followed the ways of this world, and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and its thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature's objects of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ when we were dead in our sin. It is by his grace that we were saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ, in order that the coming ages and ages and ages, he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Jesus Christ. For it is by grace you've been saved, through faith, and nothing of yourself. It is the gift of God, not by works, so no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which he prepared in advance for us to do. You remember what your life was like before you came to the Lord? I got a really touching, timely, it's no question it was the Lord, phone call this afternoon from a lady that I've not talked to in years. Many, 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 many years. And years ago, when Brent and I started Evergreen together, actually 25 years ago, shortly after this, excuse me, this woman began coming to Evergreen. And she's not the kind of a person that the world would be drawn to. Let me just put it that way. She came through the door with a tremendous amount of problems, a tremendous needs. She has a severe disability. And as she reminded me on the phone today, and I'll tell you the story, she had tried to kill herself on numerous occasions. So she called me today and she said, Mark, some friends were visiting with me last night and I was telling them a story, and they said I just had to call you and tell you the story. I said, well, I'm all ears. I'd love to hear your story. She said, well, you know, her mother died some years ago, and it was very difficult on her because it's difficult for her to function without her mom. Her mom was her closest companion. She's never been married. I think she's my age, and maybe she's a little older. And she said, well, you know, I work part-time nights at this older folks' home as a receptionist. And I said, no, I didn't know that. And she said, Mark, she said, ever since I came to Evergreen and I hear you speak the truth and I hear you talk about the gospel and I came to know Jesus, she said, I just made a commitment all these last 10 years that I'd always tell others about Christ whenever I had the opportunity. Whenever someone would say something, I'd find a way to turn it into an opportunity for the gospel. She said, one night, it was about 11 o'clock, and this older man walked up to the counter. He was lonely, and he didn't really have anybody to talk to. And so he looked at me and made a comment, and so I made a comment about God. And he just said to me, God could never forgive me. God, my sin is too black. She said, Mark, I said to him, have you ever heard of grace? He said, yes, grace is like a gentle rain. She said, well, actually, I would like to share something with you. My pastor told me that changed my life. And he said, what is that? He said, well, Pastor Mark was telling me that grace is like a fire hose. And God just points it at us and it just keeps pouring down on us. And we think that dirt could possibly stick to us. That no matter what our sin, God has just washed it away. Now, if you met this woman, she suffers from severe schizophrenia. She's telling me on the phone, she said, Mark, the last years of my life, 10 years, been the happiest years of my life. I just am so blessed. God is so good to me. I'm so overjoyed all the time. If you met her, you would think to yourself, why would you have anything to be joyful about? She said, well, Mark, when I looked up and I told him that story, I don't know what it was about the story, but it hit him, kind of like it hit me. And tears welled up in his eyes. But right when that happened, this other person walked in. And so, just like happens, I got distracted. The devil distracted me. And then when I looked, the tears were gone. But he walked away. And then, she said, a few years later, he was on his deathbed. And he told his children, I was not there, that God's grace is like a fire hose and has washed all my sin away. And his children, who are believers, who've been praying for him for years, got to find out that their dad had come to know Christ through that little comment that I had made to him. And it was so powerful, Mark, that they shared that same story at the eulogy to all the people who were at the funeral. How do I know the will of God is so good? Because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because of what God has done for us in Jesus Christ and through Jesus Christ. You know, you and I, it's very easy for us to believe, if I just live my own way, if I got my own way, if I got what I wanted, if I did what I wanted, when I wanted, wow, life would be so great. You ever think that? It's easy to think that, isn't it? If I just had what I wanted, if I got what I wanted, when I wanted, anytime I wanted, like Philip Seymour Hoffman, you know, the big star of Mission Impossible, who was just released today from rehab for heroin because he's sniffing heroin. I could go down the list of famous people. Oh, there's Will Smith's son, you know, little karate kid boy. He just went to court recently to get emancipated from his parents. He's so happy. But they rejected it. There's so many people that we see, you know, that the world holds up to us. And it can look like, oh my gosh, Will and Jada Smith, they just have everything going for them. Not without Jesus Christ. Of course, I know he doesn't have Jesus Christ because he's a Scientologist, a devout Scientologist. As is Tom Cruise. And you want to talk about some crazy, wild, freaked out beliefs? Jesus Christ changes the game. I could go around this room. I thought about this tonight, but I'm not going to. But sometime I should probably prepare the people. But I just thought about calling names and having them come up here and just briefly telling you their story. We got so many people in here whose lives before they came to Christ were such a mess. Such a mess. Think about the times, you know, I was talking with someone the day they were sharing with me that about the spouse they married, and they shared with me a little tidbit that I did not know. This person is following Christ today and is a tremendous woman of God. But this person was just sharing with me, yeah, I mean, they drove home so many times drunk that, I mean, I don't know how they didn't get in a crash or get a DWI. It's a miracle. Think how many times you were drunk. Think about all the broken relationships, all the times you were taken advantage of or you took advantage of someone else. You know, the Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18, that we have been ransomed not with perishable things, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And He rescued us from our empty, futile way of life handed down to us by our forefathers. That's what life is apart from the will of God. That's what life is apart from Jesus Christ. It's empty, it's pointless, it's meaningless, it's foolish, it's decadent, it's boring, and it's very destructive. It's not easy for us as humans, to be really honest, to see and understand that because of the great deceptive power of sin, that our ways always end in brokenness and death. That our own wisdom and our own selfish desires will destroy us. But they do. Humans are completely self-destructive. We destroy what we touch. We destroy our own lives. We destroy our loved ones. We destroy or we inflict great damage on our marriages without Christ. If you step back and take a panoramic view of history and you look at all the wars, this is the 20th century alone. And you see the extraordinary degradation and brutality of human beings upon other human beings. We could just go through a litany of the things that are happening right now in our world. Things that are happening in Syria. Things that are happening in the Sudan. Or just the other day, a woman flushed her little baby down the toilet and the little brand new baby got stuck in the pipe. Praise God, they got the little baby out of the pipe and they gave the baby back to the mother. That was real bright. Jesus Christ is proof that God's will is good and acceptable and perfect. And that it's worth the price that we pay when we follow Jesus Christ. Though our lives may have difficulties, our lives may have trials, I can tell you from experience, okay? I have lived, and for most of you, not all of you, but just about 90% of you in this room, I've been following Christ longer than you've been alive. Through all kinds of challenges, all kinds of ups and downs. But I'm telling you, Jesus is the best thing that ever happened to me. And following Jesus Christ is the best thing that ever happened to me. I can't even imagine doing marriage the way the world does it. Or raising children the way the world basically doesn't do it. I had four. And I can tell you, as God is my witness, my wife and I have discussed this many, many times, that for us personally, as we live the will of God, as we studied, as I talked to you about last week, as we dug into the book, we dug into the Word of God, we didn't listen to all the other voices out there, except if they matched up with the Word of God. We listened very attentively then. And we dug into the Word of God, our children were a joy, just as the Bible said they would be. Discipline your child and they will bring you happiness and peace of mind. That's what the Bible says. If there's no happiness and peace of mind, you need to step back, look in the mirror, and figure out I must be doing something wrong. We don't decide God's word's a lie. We must step back and go, there must be an issue with my application. And if I make adjustments to my application, I'll get the results that God talks about. Of course, sometimes the issue is with the attitude of our own heart. Sometimes all we can see is what's wrong, and so we just kind of grumble and we whine our way through the parenting years. God gives us this just this extraordinary book, but it all starts with Christ. It all starts with what Jesus gives us. Let me read to you a passage, if I could, for just a moment, out of the book of Galatians chapter 5. And I'm just going to skip around and read a couple passages. This is in 5:1. It was for freedom Christ set you free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourself be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. The slavery he's talking about is the slavery back to your own carnal, sinful, selfish nature. Christ set you free from that. You don't have to live that way anymore. You don't have to live giving in to your passions, lust, desires, greed, your lack of self-control. You don't have to live like that anymore. I saw... Well, I won't comment on that. He says here in Galatians chapter 5, the acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfishness, dissension, faction, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. And I warn you, as I did before, that those who practice these things will not enter heaven. Those who practice, those whose regular practice, doesn't mean a person doesn't make mistakes and can't be forgiven, but the person who constantly practices these things, lives in them, does not know Jesus Christ. But the fruit of the Spirit of God, the fruit of having Jesus in your life, is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, and in such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. For any of you that have ever struggled with an addiction, whether it's food, sexual, drugs, alcohol, or some other kind, you know firsthand that it is an awful way to live. You're just a slave. You're a compulsive slave. And you have these urges, they come over you, and you have no way to resist, and they break down your life. They break your wallet. They rob your self-esteem. They mar and scar your conscience. And they fill you with guilt and shame. Christ frees us. So, those of you who've escaped those addictions, remember what it was like and remember what it's like now. Remember what it was then and what is it like now. And how does it feel now to be done with it? It's incredible. It's wonderful. That's what God gives us in Jesus Christ. All of us, apart from Christ, are addicted to sin of all kinds. Hatred, meanness, abusiveness, rage, jealousy, greed. We want what other people have, and we don't know how to say no. But when we get Christ, he brings about in us new desires. And we learn to live with those desires. We learn to give in to those desires, and we learn to crucify the other ones. And we learn to see that the other ones just bring us death. The other ones just make us unhappy. And the more we follow Jesus Christ because of the gospel of his grace in our life, the more we recognize what he has done for us, the more we experience this new life in Christ. And we live more and more in the will of God. We live in the ways of God. And it becomes our way of life. Generosity becomes our way of life. Compassion becomes our way of life. Thoughtfulness becomes our way of life. Before I came here this evening, I received an email from someone. They asked me to review a little communication between them and their spouse. And as I read the back and forth going on, I could tell there was tension in the situation. This wasn't a loving form of conversation. There was animosity. There was strife. Christ wants to change that. Christ can bring peace and He can bring kindness. Now, these are people who are young in their faith and they're going to grow more and more in their faith. And the more that we grow in our faith, the more we learn, truly learn, to be patient. The more we learn to be thoughtful. The more we learn to be considerate. The more we learn to be kind. The more we learn to be understanding. The more we learn not to take things personal. The more we learn that Proverbs says it's a glory for a man to overlook an insult. Where when we're young in the Lord and we're newly married, we fight over the insults. We go back and forth over who was right, who was wrong, as if it matters. And as we grow in the Lord, we come to this verse in Peter, let him who wants to enjoy life and see good days, keep his tongue from evil, his lips from speaking deceitfully. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Turn away from evil and do good. Don't return evil for evil or insult for insult, but give a blessing instead. How many marriages are destroyed because we can't even deal with that one? You hurt me, I'm hurting back. You mouth off to me, I'm mouthing off back. You verbally slap me, I'm slapping back. And I see this all the time. I mean, I experienced it as a young Christian, as a newly married man. I was a baby in the faith. I look back and I realize I was just, I knew the Lord, but I was so controlled by the flesh. I was so controlled by my selfishness. And now, it's more and more, and this is the truth, it's more and more second nature. Just let it go. Just not only, see, you think, okay, now Mark, how do you let it go, but it doesn't build up? Because you let it go and actually forgive it. See, it's not just you go, okay, just let it go. It's not even worth dealing with. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying you let it go like Jesus forgave you. The more I've been captivated with the forgiveness of Jesus Christ, the more I've been able to give that to my wife. How many times a day have I let God down or failed God or not been thankful or not been rejoicing or said something under my breath I shouldn't have, and not one time has God accused me of it, held it against me? It's already forgiven. I don't need to ask for it to be forgiven. It's taken care of. That's the gospel. And I've learned through these years of following Christ to treat my wife the same way. And where when we were young and newly married, we wasted so many hours arguing. Back and forth, back and forth. And it just, like, the Lord of God, and it's like, I need to argue. Be a peacemaker, Mark. Be a peacemaker. Let it go. So what if it hurt? So what if it hurt your feelings, Mark? Get over it. Let it go. Put yourself in her shoes. Maybe she's going through something today. Besides, 5 minutes later, usually, my wife's different. So am I. I mean that in a good way. I mean, today, something came up. Little harshness was there. 5 minutes later, Kathy was just as sweet as could be. And I know I had to just decide, I wanted to say something, and then I didn't. Because I've learned, see, I've disciplined myself to learn to practice, to walk in the ways of God. Over and over and over and over. Let it go. And I mean, I'm just being seriously, it's rare, it's a rarity. It's a rarity that Kathy and I ever argue. We just get along. I just realized, you know, that's not that important. And I need to put her needs before my own. I'd love to share my whole little message called the Jesus app, but you go to Philippians chapter 2, you need to learn to open the Jesus app on your hard drive. And your hard drive is the new life you've been given in Jesus Christ. And sometimes the viruses, they're attacking that new hard drive all the time. See? And it slows it down and makes it not work so well. You got to open the Jesus app. You know what the Jesus app is? It's this. Though he was God, he did not demand to be treated like God. He did not demand his rights. He did not demand equality. He did not demand equal treatment. But he emptied himself. He emptied himself and put the needs of others first, and put the needs of his Father first. And he took on the form of a bondslave, and he served. That's the Jesus app. You need to learn to open it up in your life. Quit thinking about you. Quit thinking about your needs, what you want. That's learning to live the will of God. And where do we get that? From the gospel. We have the gospel because Jesus Christ was willing to do what the Father wanted him to do. You remember when he was in the garden? and all the world is coming down on his shoulders. I mean, it's just crashing down. And in just a few hours, he knows the absolute anguish and torment that he's going to face. Unlike any trial any of us here have ever faced, it's just so difficult for us to grasp that the sins of all of the world, of every human being that ever lived, was going to be put upon him. That the very things he hated most, he was going to become in the eyes of the Father, and that God was going to turn his back on his Son. And in the garden, Jesus said, Father, if it's possible, let this pass from me, but not my will, but yours be done. And we're going to have those kinds of times in our lives. Aren't you glad that Jesus lived the will of God? Because he could have walked away. He could have walked away. He could have just said, you know what, Mark's not worth it. And Mark, darling, I tell you for sure, he's not worth it. I'm not going through this. But he didn't. And we have today, because of what Christ did, all the righteousness of God. I am as righteous as God, so are you if you know Jesus Christ. You're holy and blameless and without fault in the eyes of God. God has been good to you every day of your life. You have the privilege of prayer. You can walk to God and bring any need, any concern to God. God hears, God listens, God cares, and God answers. You have God's word. You have God's promises. You have his Spirit living inside of you. You're going to live forever. You're going to get a new body. You're going to be in an incredible place forever and ever. No pain, no sorrow, no tears. Every day of your life has meaning and purpose because of Jesus Christ. And here in my hand, we have the roadmap of God. It's broken down in a whole lot of ways. For example, as I shared with you a few weeks ago, the roles of your life. If you're a single man, there are specific ways revealed in this book for you. If you're a single woman, there are specific ways for you as a woman reveal the will of God. If you're a married woman, if you're a wife, if you're a mother, if you're a father, if you're a servant, if you're an employee, if you're an employer, we could just go down the line with roles and you'll find what you need in here and what God's will for your life is. As a Christian, you'll find out what God, male or female, doesn't matter. You'll find out as a Christian what God's will for you is. You'll find out in relationships what God's will is for you in relationships. If you study the text on money, you'll find out, oh, this is God's plan for me with money. It's an amazing thing. All because of Jesus Christ. Psalm 19 says that the law of the Lord is perfect. It revives the soul. And that in keeping his word, there's great reward. And I can tell you firsthand, and so can others in this room who are younger than I am, but we can tell you it is worth it to keep the word of God. It is worth it to live the will of God. It is worth living life God's way. You're going to avoid so many problems, so much trauma, so much heartache by living the will of God. And at the same time, through the difficulties and the obstacles God allows in your life, He's going to grow your character. He's going to grow your spirit. And I look back now, and I'm such a different person than I was 38 years ago when I started following Jesus. I'm a better person. I'm a more Christ-like person. I'm a more disciplined person. I'm a more restrained person. I'm a more loving person. I'm a more compassionate person. I'm a generous, more generous person. But God's not done with me yet. And God has taught me more and more about faith and more about perseverance. All those things. God is just so good to you and I. I could share with you tonight so many abundant answers of prayer because God has been so good to me. This is why David says to us in Psalm 103, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name, and forget none of His benefits." Who pardons all of our sin, who heals all our diseases, who redeems our life from the pit, who crowns our years with good things. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, but He has separated us from them as far as the east is from the west. He knows our frame. He knows we're but dust. And as a father has compassion on his little children, so our Father has compassion on us. We have it so good. The will of God is the best possible life there is. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you tonight for Jesus Christ. Jesus, we owe you everything. As we were singing tonight, you're everything. You're everything to us. Everything we have today is because of you. Everything we're going to have in our future is because of you. We are your sons and daughters. I cannot even imagine, Lord, what my life would be like without you other than what it once was. And that was a mess. And we could go around this room tonight and we could just bring one mess up here after another of what who could tell their story of what their life used to be. That's where we'd be but worse because it only gets worse. We may walk away from an addiction, you know, without Christ. We may overcome something, but something else usually always takes its place. We're still broken inside. We're still empty inside. I've known many an alcoholic, Lord, that went to AA without Jesus Christ. They don't drink anymore, but the marriage didn't last. And they're not sure how to have a marriage. And they're not sure how to make things up with their children. Because see, without Jesus, we might be able to break a behavior, but our life is never transformed. You make all things new. I just ask you, Lord, that you'd touch lives here tonight and that you'd speak to them about Jesus. You'd remind them what they once were. Remind those who may not know you tonight what their life could be with you. If only they'll say, "Jesus, I need you. Come into my life. I know I've sinned against you. I believe you died for me and I want you as my Savior. I need you to save me." In Jesus' name. Amen.